Matthew chapter 6, I want to read to you one verse, and I want you to look at it while I give it to you this morning, and it'll be the text for our message. Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 33, the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And this morning I want to bring to you a message that I've entitled, "The Danger of Distraction." Young people, I want you to see there's a great danger when your eyes are focused on the wrong thing. And I believe that Brother Stevenson's already this morning preached very capably about how sometimes we just serve ourselves as the root problem of all the symptoms that we have. It comes from just wanting to do our own thing. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the danger of distraction. When I was a kid growing up, I was an only child. I referenced that the other day. My parents were very overprotective. Now, honest question, how many of you feel like you have overprotective parents? Raise your hands. All right, there's some of you that are lying. I know that. But you're like, I'm not divulging the truth here. But I did. I had overprotective parents. And I will tell you, at the time, I hated it. But now on this side of it, I'm thankful for it. But my parents were so overprotective. They were the kind of people that would say, "Hey, honey, be careful playing with that pillow. You might put your eye out." I mean, it was that bad at times. And so my parents, they would let me play baseball. They would let me play basketball. But there was one sport that they would never let me play, and it haunted me all of my childhood, and it was organized football. Every summer, when my friends started wearing their pads and going to practices and playing football, and I could not, it just hurt my feelings. My parents never let me play organized football because they were afraid that I would get hurt. Their little boy would break an arm, or he'd break a leg, or somebody would be mean to him. I don't know. But they just would not let me play organized football. But there was one sport that they let me play that to this day, I still don't understand why they let me play it, because I believe it was more hazardous than organized football. Now, some of you are like, "Oh, you've really got my attention now." My parents wouldn't let me play organized football, but yet they would let me play backyard football. You understand the difference? In organized football, you have a level field. You even have men that wear these black and white shirts and have these little yellow flags that wield a certain amount of authority, and they penalize you when you do wrong. And in organized football, you have nothing. Backyard football, you have absolutely nothing. No pads, no level field. And many times we hit each other late after the play was dead just to kill each other. And my parents would let me play that, but they wouldn't let me play organized football. I remember one time I was lined out in a game of backyard football. I was lined out as a wide receiver. And it was one of those games where the quarterback either ran the ball or threw to his best friend. That was it. And just a point of information, I was not his best friend. And so I'm lined out as a wide receiver, and when you're a kid, all you know to do is just run. You don't know what routes are, button hooks, slants, fades. All you knew was like, you know, just run. And I was built then like I'm built now, all right? I'm not built for speed. I'm built for comfort, okay? And, man, I would take off running, and every time the ball was hiked, I'd be like, you know, just run, and nothing would happen. You go back to the line, you're dejected. Well, at one play, the miraculous happened. I'm running, and I turn around, and lo and behold, the quarterback has thrown a perfect spiral, and he has led me perfectly. I know that I have to keep running in order to catch the ball. And so I'm running, and my eyes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The ball is coming, and right as the ball arrives over my shoulder, I can still feel the texture of that Nerf football on my fingertips. I can still feel it. I mean, my hands are there, I'm grabbing the ball, and right about that time that the ball gets there and I grab it, the guide wire of a light pole catches me right across the neck. raises my feet up off the ground, and I hit back first, and it knocks the wind out of me. You ever had that uncomfortable feeling? You know, if you've never had it, see me afterwards. We'll get somebody to pound you right in the back. I'm laying on the ground. I can't breathe. And all of my friends, they huddle around me and they look at me with that look of fake concern. And one of them finally says, "You okay?" I don't remember if I verbally said yes or if I just nodded my head or grunted, uh-huh. But once they knew that I was going to live, they fell down on the ground everywhere laughing. They thought it was the greatest thing. You know, everybody watching that game could see what was about to happen but me. Had I been on the sidelines watching, I would have said, "Boy, that chubby kid, if he's not careful, he did." Why is it that everybody else could see it, but I couldn't because I was focused on the wrong thing? Now, you might object and you say, and let me tell you, if you're playing football, you ought to be focused on the football. I would say you're right 99% of the time. But the reason I was embarrassed and the reason that I was hurt for a season was because I was focused on the wrong thing. Now, young people, let me tell you something, and then I'm going to go back to the words of Jesus. There are many people that are in your age bracket that are making wrong decision after wrong decision, and the reason why is they're focused on the wrong thing. It's one thing to get a rash along your neck. It's another thing to marry the wrong person or to go into a sinful lifestyle and live for self. And so Jesus, I believe, was warning His disciples about the danger of distraction, and I want to do the same for you this morning. Now, let me show you three things. Number one, I want you to see our pursuit. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." That word "seek" has the idea of chase. It has the idea of running after. It has the idea of following. For those of you that have siblings, which is the vast majority, have you ever been chased by a sibling? Have you ever chased a sibling? Listen, in my household, I have two boys and a girl. The boys are already gone, and Karis is coming up on the rear side of things, and she'll be off to college after about a year. But you know, when those kids were little, I would see her chasing them or them chasing her. If they held a baby doll hostage, she would chase after them. If she destroyed their Lego creation, they would chase after her. So here Jesus says, "Seek." He says, "I want you to follow after something." Now, let me tell you, everybody in this room is following after something. Right now you're like, "No, I'm sitting here listening to you, trying to stay awake." Listen, folks, it is Wednesday. You should have lots of energy left, right? But did you know that as you sit in that chair right now, your life is headed in a direction. Right now, you're following after something. You're seeking after something. The Bible tells us in a very general sense of what we ought to be seeking after. And before I tell you what Jesus says in this verse, I want you to listen to what the Bible says about what we should be seeking after in general. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29, the Bible says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul." You know what God was saying? He was saying, "I'm not playing hide and go seek. If you seek after Me with all of your heart, you'll find Me." Now listen to me, young man. If you're at this camp and you really want to know God, you can know Him. As a matter of fact, you can know God as much as you want to know Him. God said, "If you seek Me with all of your heart, if you seek Me with all of your soul, you'll find Me." And I want to ask you, before you came to camp, did you really have a heart seeking after God? You have a heart that was in the Word of God, spending some time in prayer, trying to learn and trying to grow? Or would you say, "I'll be honest, this is the most I've touched my Bible in 3 days in a week of camp"? We ought to be seeking after the Lord, and we ought to be seeking His face continually. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. We ought to seek Him every day. Now, I'm glad that when you're at camp, you're taught to seek the Lord. I mean, after all, this is a Christian camp. Last time I checked, right, Brother Carlson? You ought to seek the Lord at camp. Do you have devotions at night, yes or no? Yes? Okay, I'm not going to ask you whether they're good or bad because you're going to hurt your counselor's feelings, but I'm sure they're good. You know, you're in an environment where you're taught to seek the Lord, but can I tell you something, young people? We've got to do that more than just a week of camp. I hope that when you come to camp, you get a taste of that. You're like, wow, I can read the Bible every day. Guess what? You can read it on Saturday and Sunday and Monday of next week. Get a taste of it and go forward. But you ought to seek Him continually. You just don't seek Him at church. You just don't seek Him at Sunday school. Listen, let God be a part of your life and seek Him continually. In Psalm 27 and verse 4, the psalmist said this, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after." Now, before I give you the rest of the verse, let me just tell you the import of the first part of the verse. He says, listen, if there's any one thing I could have. Have you ever, Brother Stevenson this morning, as he's preaching, he said, boy, if there's any one thing I could have, it was his favorite pizza. I mean, after 2 weeks of starvation, all right? That's really not my choice, but that's his choice. And he's like, if I could have you ever come to a point in your life where you're like, man, if I could just have this one thing, this one food or this one drink. There's some of you already, you're like, when I get home, I'm going to eat this or I'm going to drink this. Well, the psalmist said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He didn't say to be rich. He didn't say to be famous. He said that I could dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Are you seeking after that? Now, I'll be the first one to tell you the church is not in the Old Testament. If you have anybody that tells you the church is in the Old Testament, they're telling you a lie because it's not. It's in the New Testament. But I will tell you a good principle as I take it from Psalm 27 verse 4, when he says, I've desired to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, I do think it's fair for me to say, you tell me your attitude about church, and I'll tell you a lot about your attitude towards God. Right. If you had to come to camp with handcuffs and shackles, and you were forced to come, it's not so much your attitude about camp that I'm concerned about. It's where are you at with God? That's the greater question. There may be some of you, and you're like, yeah, I go to church because I have to, and you know, I'll come to camp and read the Bible and all this just because I have to. Listen, you may be supposedly doing the right things, but you're missing the whole problem of your heart. Now, notice what Jesus said. He said, but seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know what Jesus was talking about? He was saying, when He said the kingdom of God, He said, seek those things which are eternal, those things which are going to last forever. You know, there's some of you that are big basketball fans. By the way, the other day I saw pictures of an NBA player, All-Star's feet. They looked hideous. I'm like, man, you may be making $30 million a year, but it's a wonder you're going to walk in 10 years. Your feet look like a trash compactor just crushed them. You know, you say, boy, that guy's got all kinds of money, but you know what? That's not eternal. Right. Can you take money with you? No, you can't. You have to focus on the eternal. There are some of you, you're like, well, I just want to make a lot of money. That's not eternal. That's temporal. You say, well, it helps them feel a little bit better on this side of things. But I'm going to tell you what, in eternity can't buy a person out of hell. Money cannot buy a person out of hell. Money cannot, listen, buy you spiritual rewards. Listen, it's just a tool to do the will of God, but in the end, it's not eternal. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, those things which are holy, those things which are pure, those things that are right. Let me ask you a question. Is that the direction of your life right now? Is that what you're seeking after? I don't know how you do things out west. Out east, our churches have this thing. It's usually called homecoming. It's like a special day where after the special day, they have a big meal and everybody brings all. It's like a big potluck. That's what they'd call it in other places. And man, my favorite part of the potluck is the dessert table. Is that yours? You know, you go up there and you see all these different desserts. Man, banana pudding, apple pie, chocolate chip cookies. I'm talking about the homemade stuff. There's some of you, you're like, I just eat Oreo. Let me tell you something. Homemade stuff is like so much better. It tastes better. You know, get off the store-bought stuff and have home. You'll never go back. You'll be like, okay, I'm not eating an Oreo cookie when I have homemade apple pie, all right? But man, I love it. You go to that table, you have all of those choices, and those mean ladies in the church give you a dessert plate that's about that big. Now, I'm going to tell you what I do. I say, forget that. I go back up to the main table and grab that big plate that has the, you know, the portion segments in it. And I'm like, okay, this way I won't mix my cherry pie with my banana pudding and I'm just going to get a lot. You know, sometimes it's hard to make a choice at a dessert table, but can I tell you, in life, I'm going to simplify that choice for you. Basically, when you look at the table of life, you've got two choices. Here it is, your way or God's way. That's it. You walk out of this chapel today, you'll either choose your way or God's way. Your way, the Bible says, it leads to death, it leads to sorrow, it's a dead end. God's way is eternal, and God's way is right. Now, you have to make a choice today whether you're going to push aside the distractions of life and seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, or you're going to walk out of this place unchanged. Number one, our pursuit. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not only does He talk about our pursuit and seek, but when He says first, He's talking about a priority. Do you have priorities? You're like, I'm 13 years old. You have priorities if you're 13. When I was a kid and I got off the school bus as a kid, I had priorities. You know what my priorities were when I got home? The very moment I walked in the house, you know what I did? I did one of two things. I either went straight to the refrigerator and ate whatever I could, or I went straight to my room and I changed my clothes because I couldn't play in my school clothes. I mean, it was a priority. You could not hold me back from doing one of those two things. And if you're like, well, what made up your mind whether you went to the refrigerator or the room? It's all dependent upon what I had for lunch. If lunch stunk and I didn't eat much of it, then I went straight to the refrigerator. If lunch was a buffet, I was like, okay, I'm going to get changed. But I had priorities. Listen, as a teenager, you have priorities. What are they? How do you find out what your priorities are in life? Think about it for a moment. I'm going to help you if you'll just listen. You know how you find out what your priorities are? Look at what you do. If you look at what you do, that'll tell me what your priorities are. For instance, I'll guarantee you that at a Christian camp, I could ask the question, how many of you think that God should be your first priority? And everybody would go, whoop, yes. And I could even go to well-meaning people and I could say, What's your highest priority in life? And you would say, well, God is my highest priority. But what if, instead of asking you what is your highest priority, I asked you this question: when's the last time you touched your Bible outside of camp and church? When's the last time you stood in a crowd of people and somebody told a joke that was off-colored and you said, no, I'm not going to listen to that? You know what? Those questions are the kinds of ones that answer what our priorities really are. I'm glad you're at camp. You know why I believe you're at camp? I'm going to give you all the benefit of the doubt. I believe that you're at camp because you want to seek the Lord. I will give you the benefit of the doubt. Hey, there's some of you young ladies. Some of you are just sort of bashful, you know. Even though you're bashful, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I think you're here because you want to seek the Lord. But here's the thing that I want to impress upon you. There are a lot of people that say that they're seeking the Lord, but listen to me, are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Do you understand the difference? In the town that I live in, it's called Lattimore. Lattimore is a town of 488 people. We have a town hall. We have a fire station. We have a little restaurant called The Depot. We have Ambassador Baptist College. And we have a U.S. post office. If you want to know the news, go to the post office. I was talking to the postmaster years ago, and he said, Alton, you'll never believe what I hear in this post office while I am putting mail in the boxes. He said, I'm not trying to listen to it, but people get out there and they talk about their problems, and he said, it's just like a gossip fest. One day I walked in and I saw the postmaster. His name was Phil. I said, Phil, I've made a bad mistake. I said, I need to mail this, and it needs to get there in a hurry, and I've waited too long, and I need your help. He said, man, you've come to the right place. He said, and this was years ago, postal rates just went up again this last week. They just keep going up. But he looked at me and he said, now, Alton, if you want to send this priority mail, he said, you pay me $3 and we'll put it in this envelope. And he said, it'll usually get to the place in about 2 to 3 days. He said, now, we don't guarantee that, but priority mail, it usually takes 2 to 3 days to get there. Or you can pay me $10, and if you pay me $10, I'll guarantee it'll get there the next day, guaranteed. It's overnight. He said, what would you like to do? Well, I'm thinking about this, $3 and $10. You do the math. How much is the difference? Back in that day, I could have bought 2 McDonald's extra value meals for $7. And I started thinking with my stomach instead of my brain. And I looked at him and I said, you know what, Phil? Instead of doing first class postage, which was probably 30 cents at the time, I'll do the $3 thing. I don't want to do the 10. I'll do the 3 and hopefully it'll get there. And it did. But here's the reason I tell you that story, young people. It's this. Do you know the higher priority I put on that piece of mail, the more it costs me out of my pocket, right? Do you understand that? Did you know the same thing is true when you make a decision in your life to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Sometimes there's a cost associated with it. And I want to say something before I go any further. I'm sort of hesitant to use the word cost, like this is what it cost me to follow God. I really even hate talking that way because when I think of what it cost Him, listen, after I see what it cost Him, His only Son Jesus dying on the cross, anything that I give up, that's not a cost. But it's the only way I know to describe it. Listen to me. When you decide in your heart, young man, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it may cost you some friends. It may cost you some personal ambitions. It may cost you a level of coolness that you have enjoyed. But you have to make up your mind whether you're going to suffer affliction with the people of God and turn your back on the world. And I believe there are some of you today, listen, yes, you are seeking God, but you're not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you're afraid to pay the cost. And even right now, you know that specific area, that friendship, that habit, that sinful thing in your life. And listen, if you're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you have to quit looking at those distractions and head totally towards Him. You know, talking about priorities, when I was a kid growing up in school, we used to have a thing called field day. I love field day because you didn't have school, you ate unlimited amounts of sugar, and you played games all day. And my mom, growing up, she saved every award that I was given. I could take you out to the shed behind my house, And I could show you every award that I was given in elementary school and beyond. And in that scrapbook, I could show you a green fifth place ribbon that I won in the spoon egg relay. Now, I know a lot of you are really awed by that. Green fifth place ribbon in the spoon egg relay. It was where they took the hard-boiled egg and they put it in the spoon. All you had to do was walk. I mean, that's a lot of skill. I won fifth place. I bet you when I went home and I showed my mom that ribbon, Mom's never going to hurt our feelings. Mom, look, I got a ribbon. And Mom probably looked at that on the outside. She's like beaming and like, oh, honey, you got a ribbon. And on the inside, she's like, fifth place? Woohoo! Fifth place. Wow, how about that? Fifth place? You got fifth place. She's probably thinking, fifth place out of five. You got fifth place? It's funny, I was really impressed with it, but I'm sure outside of her motherly instinct, she was like, whoa. And the truth is, you know what? I don't think any of you are awed by fifth place. Who after camp is over with is going to go home and go up to their sponsor and say, hey, I won fifth place in the basketball tournament? Last time I checked, you probably don't even have a fifth place trophy, do you? That's just a waste of plastic. I mean, who's going to go home? So I want you to know at the ranch, there was probably 60 or 80 campers there, and I got fifth place in the ping pong tournament. No, fifth place. I'm a competitor. It's like a man said years ago. They said, what do you think about second place? He said, I hate it. They said, why? He said, because it's first loser. I don't like it. You know, we would probably all agree it's pretty foolish to parade around a fifth place ribbon. But can I tell you, there's some of you, before you came to camp, the way that you were living, that's exactly what you're doing when it came to God. Right. Yeah, you were in church. Yeah, you're in the youth group. But you refuse to just totally give all, and you hold back. There are friendships that are holding you back. There's music that's holding you back. There are habits of your life that are holding you back. It's time for you to stop waving your fifth place ribbon and just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. Number one, our pursuit. Number two, our priority. Number three, and last of all, is our promise. Did you know this verse has a promise? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Here it is. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that if you sell out and serve God, that God is going to give you season tickets to watch the Arizona Diamondbacks and free food every game and you have everything that you want? Is that what that means? Does it mean, and all these things shall be added unto you? Does that mean, listen, you look like a pickup truck kind of guy. You're going to have like a nice pickup. And it's going to have all the bells and whistles. And, you know, it'll be great. Ladies, does that mean that God looks at you and says, listen, when you shed those friends and you seek first the kingdom of God, I'm going to give you the wardrobe that you've always wanted. I mean, listen, it cost is no expense, you know. No. That's not what God means. There are some people today, they're prosperity preachers. Well, if you serve God and you do this and that, God will give you all kinds of things. And these are the same kind of guys that say, hey, come to my meetings and I will heal you. Pay $20 and come to my meeting and I'll heal you. It'll be a faith healing and everything. Great. They're just a bunch of crooks, all right? You know, if I could heal people, do you know what I would do? Instead of charging $20 a head and having people come to my meetings, I would just do like Jesus and go out in the crowd and touch them free of charge. Well, if it doesn't mean I'm going to get a new Tesla. Karis and I were remarking this weekend, you have a lot more Teslas per capita in Arizona than you do in North Carolina. We're just poor people out there. So. No, but I saw a lot of Teslas. I don't know what the deal was. You say, well, okay, if I'm not going to get a Tesla, I'm not going to get a wardrobe that I want, I'm not going to get that pickup truck, what does that mean? And all these things shall be added unto you. In the context of that passage, here's what Jesus was telling His disciples in the previous verses. He said, I'll meet your daily needs. Don't worry about your daily needs. Just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let me take a poll here as we wind up things. How many of you young ladies, this is not a trick question, how many of you young ladies would like to marry a godly Prince Charming that would treat you with respect and be the best husband you could ever imagine? How many of you would like to marry that person? Raise your hand. Raise it up high. Okay, all right, put them down. All right, let me ask another question. Now I'll ask this one to the fellas. How many of you guys would like to marry a woman who was a nag, she was hateful, unfaithful, and made your life miserable? Any of you would like to marry one of those, raise your hand. All right, I'm going to chop your hands off. Because, you know, I've sort of got a feeling in here, even at this point in your life, you're like, you know, I would like to marry the right person. I would like to, like, have the right occupation. I would like to do the right thing. Do you know how you find the right spouse? I'll tell you right now, as a 15-year-old, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You want to know how you're going to find out what you're doing 10 years from now? As a 13-year-old or as an 18-year-old, right now you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's so important, day by day. And Jesus said, all these things will be added unto you. He said, I'll meet your daily needs. He said, I'll meet the needs that are ahead. Now, young people, listen to me. I'm almost done. What has distracted you and has kept you from seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Why are your priorities not right? There may be some of you, you say, well, I'll be honest, Brother Beal, I could really care less about priorities. You've just nagged on me for the last 35 minutes, and I really don't care. I'm just going to be distracted. If that's you, listen to me. There's a grave danger in being distracted. I had a friend of mine in Bible college. He had two children. I was a single student at the time. And he had two children. He had a daughter, and then he had a younger son, and he was the personification of Dennis the Menace. You ever seen that cartoon? Mr. Wilson's just cringing. He's like, oh, here's Dennis the Menace. I mean, whenever you saw this boy walking down the sidewalk, you knew trouble was about to come. He just had mischievousness written all over his forehead. Well, anyway, my friend graduated from Bible college. He moved out to Eastern North Carolina, and I got heartbreaking news one day that his 17-year-old son that I watched grow up had been killed in a car accident. And when I got that news, it really hit me hard. I contacted my friend. I said, I have children, but I've never known what that's like. I'm so sorry. And I told him that I was praying for his family. And it was a couple of weeks later, I was reading in the area paper. In that area, I went online and I read the article that outlined the story behind his death. This 17-year-old young man was riding as a passenger in a car with his girlfriend as they're driving down a busy road. And while she's driving, she is texting her friend. In the middle of that texting conversation, she looks up to see that the car has veered in the way of a tractor trailer, and the only way that she could escape it was to turn the wheel, and in doing so, it exposed his side of the car, and he was killed instantly. You know what? There's a girl in Eastern North Carolina, now she's a young woman. And it may be that every day her mind goes back to that day when the person that she loved was killed instantly. Why? Because of her carelessness. She didn't wake up that morning and say, I want something bad to happen. And there's not a teenager in this room that wakes up saying, I want something bad to happen to me today. She didn't wake up for anything to happen bad. She woke up thinking it was going to be a great day. You know why that tragedy happened? Listen to me. Because she was distracted. And it breaks my heart to think that there are some of you young ladies, you're going to miss God's best if you leave this camp the same way you came in. There's some of you young men, you need to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, no matter the cost. Remember what Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's bow our heads together in prayer.